It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this ninth day of May, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn Chat Room, the 3 hours in which this program is live. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round, whatever time it is where you happen to be listening to the podcast. If you're listening live, well, please feel free to augment your listening experience by running over to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, jump into the aforementioned Merry, Wacky, Zany, etc., and be greeted by early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and Anatole. Hey, guys. And capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage skilled navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Because he's just that kind of third-stage field navigator. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. That means we take note today of manifestations of Titanic right-wing intellect. And, well, you know how it goes. So named because, lo, almost 20 years ago, the Morning Monotone, who has long since gone to his reward, over at in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, took a call one day, and he was so confident in the things that he did not know, just bold, proud. And the question, I believe, was something like, Steve, how come it is you reckon there are seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I didn't see them when I was down in the coal mines. To which he answered,
well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates.
Yes, yes. Sadly, still no word on the submarine whereabouts of the Titanic donut cutter. But, you know, some things simply must remain a mystery. A lot to talk about this evening, but every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so We start the program, like I said, with thanks. Thank you so much to our ninth day of the month subscribers. That means thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much for being part of the funding of this little independent broadcast effort. Thank you to Khalil. Thank you so much. And thank you to Mary Bell. And thank you to James. It all means so very much, and, well, thanks as well to Laurie up in Michigan. Thank you so much, and thank you to David in Oregon, finishing up his first year of law school. Yes, as a matter of fact, Irish Dave, the Titanic gravy boat did sink. It struck a lump. So, where we find ourselves, and I'm sorry, these are desperate times for this little network. what it where we are is $823 is the fundraising goal. 823, and I have a critically due Appalachian Electric Power extortion payment that I have to pay on the 11th, or, well, there won't be program, because there won't be no electricity. And if we could make up the difference, well, it would make all the difference in the world. It would keep this program on the air come Thursday. It's scary. We got tonight and tomorrow. After that, bupkis. So, I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I wasn't passing the hat at all. Or if I was passing the hat, I wish I was doing it for, oh, I don't know, a beach vacation. But no, this is to pay for our clean coal-fried electricity. So the PayPal button is over at headon.live on the main page. And there's also Venmo, Cash App. U.S. Mail probably wouldn't be a lot of help right now because, you know, Thursday. Yuck. Stresses me out. You know what? John, in Central PA, you inspire me. You make me feel like maybe this little program has a has an impact. I just got a note from John in Central PA, subject line, closing statements. I heard a journalist say closing statements today. I'm sure they previously said opening arguments. Yay! Thank you for noticing, John. There are opening statements, which are recitations of fact, and there are closing arguments in which one, lawyer will pull together the evidence adduced at trial and make an argument to the jury as to how they should find. It was a bad day for Joe Take a Penis. It was a lousy day. It's a great day for America, though. And I know there is and has been long-lasting trauma for E. Jean Carroll, and my heart goes out to her. But there has to be some sense of vindication as well. Almost, or maybe a little over, $5 million. Yes, 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 Nitwit Nero will appeal. And he was running his mouth earlier, talking about, I've been silenced. I've been silenced. I was not allowed to tell my side of the story. Oh, you sorry sack of dung. You were not silenced. You had every opportunity. And then during closing arguments, E. Jean Carroll's lawyers made the observation that, he probably didn't show up because he couldn't withstand the cross-examination, and he knew he did what he did. And what he did was disgusting, and it is what he has done, no doubt, to numerous other women, and he is gross. It's a shame that this wasn't a criminal case, but they did, the jury verdict form, the plaintiffs had to prove this case by what is called a preponderance of the evidence, which is anything that is more likely than not. If it is 50.00000000001% more likely, that's a preponderance. What was curious, however, was that the jury form contained a statement whereby the jury found by clear and convincing evidence, which is more than a preponderance. It's not the same thing as beyond a reasonable doubt. These things are all sort of esoteric concepts, things like scintilla juris and whatnot. But clear and convincing is pretty substantial. So, I don't know. The first thing that came to mind for me was that there was probably a Heinz hurricane taking place with the eye right over the dining room at Magaloco. Probably looked like the last scene from Carrie. Ketchup on the walls, ketchup on the ceiling, ketchup on the floors. Puddling at his feet. Ketchup everywhere. Well, thank you, Henry. Thank you for getting us started. Thank you so much indeed. So that takes us down to 808, which is 101 less than 909, and that's a Beatles song. Thank you. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. So we're at 808, and we will struggle and try to keep this this effort going. And thank you, Flavio. Flavio taking us down to, oh dear, ciphering. That $8 is going to, $7.83. Thank you, Flavio. Thank you. And by the way, Ralph said, my 68th birthday is the 11th of May, so when my new credit card gets to me, I'll kick in 68 bucks. If other people want to help with that, Robin and I would appreciate it. Yes, we would. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs, and happy, happy, happy 68th birthday. I hope you celebrate it wonderfully. Ketchup everywhere. Steve in New York going, taking dead aim at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Says, don't forget the loads of excrement in the diaper. Depends. Shame on me. Couldn't resist. The clear and convincing, Steve says, I think that was to make an appeal harder to win. It also went to the clear and convincing language was with regard to actual malice and the defamation claim, because there were multiple claims. The jury form had 10 questions on it. The only one that they answered in the negative was question number one. Did Donald Trump rape E. Jean Carroll? And the jury said no. Then question two was, did he sexually abuse E. Jean Carroll? Yes. Yes, he did. So what comes out of this is that we get a new way to refer to Marcus Aurelius. He is, in fact, a proven sexual predator. We've known that all along, but yeah, he is a sexual predator, and it has been proven in court and found by a jury. So when he runs, and by the way, CNN's decision to give him his own town hall Saturday evening is looking badder and badder and worser by the minute. And so he will galumph, and he will bark, and he'll bray, and he'll bleat, and he'll piss, and he'll moan about how unfair it all was. It was all just unfair, so terribly unfair. I was silenced. He's never been silenced for a second in his miserable, misbegotten life, the best part of which ran down his mama's leg. Good Lord. But here we are. Thank you. Tom and Sonny San Rafael. Stop that ciphering. Okay, so that takes us down to 760, and we got a nice round little zero I can deal with and not have to do all the siren. Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. I wish things weren't as desperate as they are, but they are. And it's, you know, scary. Thank you for helping. 760. Even before the verdict came out, this morning, that is, came out. It was released at 3 o'clock this afternoon. They were already having fun with Nitwit Nero. I guess it was fun, but just blistering him. This is well beyond the British and Australian concept of taking the piss out of someone. They took the piss, the prostate, and the bladder all. And you can't hardly blame them, you know?
Can we just say, for people who haven't seen this yet, like, I ruin it for everybody. It's just not the same show without him. It's not even close to the same show without him.
You know what's amazing? How Madison Avenue just bastardizes everything. Now he's in McDonald's commercials.
Yeah.
He's doing like six voiceovers. Yeah. Now, come on, man. Just don't judge you. Sometimes things
paid,
are just
baby.
Too...
Come on,
Cox. Leave it alone. Yeah. You know, let him be who he is, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Let him be who he is. Something that none of us will ever say about Donald Trump, who actually admitted in his deposition, Mika, that he actually believed that what he said in the Access Hollywood tape might be right, that for millions of years, Donald says, powerful men who were stars have been able to rape or sexually molest women because them do it. And the fact that that evangelicals aren't going, wait a second, he apologized for this in 2016, but now he's saying maybe it's a good thing because he said maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that deposition, I watched the whole thing. It's stunning. I mean, not only does he admit that famous people can grab women anywhere and that it might be a good thing, but he insults the person questioning him, calls her a disgrace, and says, you're not my type. I mean, what?
Here you have like a 77-year-old guy that has been dining out on Kentucky Fried Chicken and Big Mac for years. Who does Donald Trump think? Whose type does Donald Trump think he is? And he's going around telling all these women, oh, you're not my type. Seriously, look at that. Just look at that.
Now.
Joe. And he's going around telling women you're not my type.
I'm glad you said that.
That would be like me like going to the Lakers and say, you know what? You're not my type of basketball team. I'm not going to play for you guys.
Okay.
Come on. Wait, can we get a close-up? Can we get some shots of him golfing?
Joe. Yeah, I was just going to get the golf shots
up. Look at this. You're not my type?
Okay.
This guy's the judge on that?
It's a very cruel thing to say, and on many levels, it's just rude.
You know, it's also a joke. Can we go back to that picture that this guy is passing out judgments on people? He calls Ron DeSantis Meatball Ron. You're looking at Meatball Don here. I mean, really, TJ, I need a picture of him golfing. I don't judge people by their looks for a good reason. Right? I don't look like Eddie Glaude Jr.
Mm.
Now, if I looked like Eddie Glaude Jr., I might pass the judgment out a little bit more. But anyway, so Donald Trump...
We went a little sideways here.
We did go a little sideways, but again, the point is here, again, who is Donald Trump to judge anybody, first of all? And secondly, who are evangelicals to vote for a man who says maybe it's a good thing in 2023 for stars to able to sexually molest women?
He's not wrong. You know, honest to God, I swear if Joe announces he's transitioning, I'm walking away. okay. That's cruel. Well, I mean, or is it just honest? I don't know. So, you know, later on, if you want to, you know, we can talk about this. I'm certainly game for it. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Like a bit of a revelation that came out from an individual who was part of his own cabinet. Miles Taylor was in the Trump in the Trump administration, and he's joined the growing chorus of people like you know, former Attorney General Bill Barr to prosecution, who decided he liked his law license better than he liked Donald Trump and taking the fall for him. Yeah. Miles Taylor said, "I'll never forget an ex-Trump cabinet member telling me he is truly the most evil person I have ever met. We cannot make this mistake again." And Miles Taylor, not identifying the individual, but offered up a quote from former Nitwit Nero Chief of Staff John Kelly, who said, "The depths of his dishonesty is just astounding to me. The transactional nature of every relationship, though, is more pathetic than anything else. He is the most flawed person I have ever met in my life." They're definitely reaching into their suit jacket pockets and reaching for the cigarettes and the matches as they prepare to light up a cigarette in the bunker. And I wonder, we've talked about this from time to time. We talked about this in the context of in the context of the 25th Amendment during the nightmare pseudo-presidency of Nitwit Nero. And then you've got people like Tucker Carlson saying, yeah, he's probably autistic. But you want... And the other night... Annette and I, just looking for something to watch, watched Flowers for Algernon. Matthew Modine playing Charlie Gordon. Oh, I cried. I cried so hard. And I found myself pondering Nitwit Nero while watching that. Charlie is developmentally delayed. And some sort of operation is developed whereby he is enabled to become smart, as he says. And he gets an entirely new perspective on the world around him. Well, no such thing is ever going to happen to Nitwit Nero as he's sitting around eating his Big Macs and his taco bowls, taco salad bowls. He's, because even now, he's still going after E. Jean Carroll. You know, there's not a statute of limitations on new lawsuits. Sorry, pollen. This stuff sounds actionable, too. And at this point, if they found actual malice in this trial, henceforward, every word that comes out of his mouth is going to be further proof of the actuality and the malice. It's really rather astonishing. Going back to Joe Scarborough, Flavio says that match had red hair is kind of ersatz too. I'm still mad at Joe for all the promo he gave Trump in the run up to 2016, and they threw a hissy on CNN or about CNN platforming him. I was like, y'all don't remember 2016 too good, do you? Because I do. And so he's still running his yap. He can't learn. And I guess this is proof. This is proof that even when you're a hotshot trial lawyer, you're like Joe Take a Penis. There's some clients you can't reach. There's some clients who simply will not learn. The verdict came out, and he took his tiny little thumbs to his keyboard on his rickety, falling-apart social media platform. And pushed the caps lock.
I have absolutely no idea who this woman is. This verdict is a disgrace. A continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time.
Yeah, the woman, he doesn't know who she is. He mistook her for Marla Maples. And I misspoke. The town hall is actually tomorrow. Not Saturday, it's tomorrow. I wonder how obsequious the CNN talking heads will be. Do they even have anybody left with the intellectual heft and the moral starch to be able to challenge him? Nonetheless, he Nitwit Nero, is talking about it. This morning he called on the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings to make sure and watch CNN.
I'll be doing CNN tomorrow night, live from the great state of New Hampshire, because they are rightfully desperate to get those fantastic Trump ratings once again. They made me a deal I couldn't refuse. It could be the beginning of a new and vibrant CNN with no more fake news, or it could turn into a disaster for all, including me. Let's see what happens, Upspeak. Wednesday night at 8! !
Well, Mr. Trump, you are now a proven sexual predator, according to a jury in New York. How do you feel about that? STS. STS, y'all. Stoke the stroke. Thanks, Ralphs. Let's see. I don't think he would have agreed to sit down with Jim Acosta. Maybe they'll have Allison Camerota do it, because she was with Fox for a number of years. The absolute best CNN has would probably be Christiana Manpour. I don't know about, will it be Anderson Cooper? Casey Hunt wouldn't be terrible, but oh, no, Jake Tapper, there's a possibility. Darlene in Connecticut says, per Ben Mysalas over at Midas Touch, the theory is that Trump was charged with sexual abuse as opposed to sexual assault rape because E. Jean was unsure there was full penetration during the sexual battery because Trump's penis is so small. This was not stated as a joke. He stated this in all seriousness. You seem to be liking Joe Scarborough way too much lately. Laughing emoji. No, I'm not. I just find it fun to say things on this program and then hear me being mirrored on, MSNBC in the morning. And he's cute. Flavio says, Trump CNN town hall. Girl, I mentioned the town halls tomorrow several times when I posted updates to the verdict. But you think he'll show? Here's my guess. Trump will attend CNN's town hall tomorrow because neither he nor CNN have any shame. Flavio, I think he has to show. He's a dead mackerel in 3 week old newspaper if he doesn't. The maggots will perceive him as cowardly, which he is. I mean, it's not like that's a secret. But yeah, I don't think he has a choice here. Robin asks Emilio, why are you doing your Trump impression today like if he just had an allergic reaction? That killed me a little. Well, as long as it was in a good way. Lee in New York, Joe Scarborough transitioning. Stop it, Robin. He's not your type. I didn't say anything about types. Now quit it. It's kind of like... A long time ago, before he passed away, the late great prophet Bill Hicks, watched Dennis Leary shamelessly steal his shtick, said, "Gee, I wonder if I get cancer and die if Dennis Leary'll do that too." Yeah, I know. But like I said, there is other stuff out there. It's just kind of hard to tear myself away from all of this madness. And about an hour after the verdict was read, his tiny little thumbs were back on the keyboard with the caps lock still on. Very unfair trial! Very! And you know what? I don't think they were kidding, Darlene. At all. I mean, we already know what Stormy Daniels said about it. And I don't even know how to process that. And there's no jokes to be made, but I would not be surprised though if Ben Mysalas is absolutely correct. So the jury had a choice between sexual abuse and rape, and they went where the evidence was most accurate. Here's another one of the odd parts of the trial. On the jury, there was a 31-year-old security guard from the Bronx. And during voir dire, when the lawyers asked who got what news from where, he stood out. Because this 31-year-old security guard from the Bronx said he didn't watch a lot of news or take a lot of news in, but mostly he gets his news from podcasts, one of them being the podcast from some guy named Tim Pool, who claims to be a former leftist and is now fully right-wing and a spreader of garbage,
fake news.
And Tim Pool actually got himself invited to the White House in 2019 during the nightmare presidency. It apparently did not help. Now, there will be an appeal. And probably, Steve, you lawyer in New York, is there an intermediate court of civil appeals, or does this just go right up to the high court in Albany? I don't know, but there will be an appeal. The punitive damages are minuscule on this. So the court's predilection for striking down punitive damages awards doesn't seem to be a factor here. I love the way you think, George. George and Korsgold, subject line, warning posters. I hope people in New Hampshire put up sex offender posters around the CNN venue. Sexual predator. I think that's a great idea, George. Steve notes, Tim Pool, more accurately now known as Pim Tool, the guy's a total turd. I've never heard of him before, and I think I'm probably glad about that. You do get the idea that Nitwit Nero really is melting. It may be raining ketchup down at Mayor Lardass. He went ranting after Rupi as well today.
Rupert Murdoch, worst Republican speaker ever, Paul Ryan, Rhino Karl Rove, the Wall Street Globalist Journal, and the rapidly disintegrating Fox News have gone all out over the last 3 months pushing and promoting Ron DeSanctimonious, a man who, without the help and endorsement of President Donald J. Trump, would now be working at McDonald's or at a minimum be far away from Tallahassee. All of this rhino globalist push from election undenier Murdoch has crushed DeSantis in the polls.
God, if he's the Republican nominee, can you imagine what a gift that is to the Biden team? Black screens, white letters, sexual predator. Gonna be an interesting, 11 months. Gonna be an interesting 18 months, isn't it? I know it reads like that, doesn't it, Ralphs? But no, he was talking about
worst speaker ever, Paul Ryan. Rhino Karl Rove.
Yeah.
He's an election undenier.
They're going to have to hit him with a Thorazine dart in the neck by the end of the day, I think. And Iwanka is probably furiously on social media saying, please like me again. I'm up here. I don't have anything to do with him anymore. Can I come to brunch? Please? Pretty please? Yeah. And today, after all the hard work had already been done, today, law enforcement officials in Texas said that, yes, in fact, Mauricio Garcia, who slaughtered a crowd of people at the Allen Premium Outlets in Allen, Texas this past Saturday, we talked about it a lot yesterday, the cops said, He had a neo-Nazi ideation, but he was just shooting people randomly. We now know that he was carrying with him three firearms. He had five more in his car. That, according to the regional director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, a fellow by the name of Hank Sibley. Well, maybe he wanted to make sure he had more guns on him than the shooter in Nashville did. Remember, he made reference to the Nashville shooting as a pretty good kill score. Some people are evil. No worry. Have any of you, because I haven't seen anything about his parents, 33 years old, you got to figure his parents are still around, maybe. And after this, it's a matter of wait and see, and of course the world will wait with bated breath for the next horrible self-owning thing that Nitwit Nero says. And even over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Jonathan Turley, who is still on TV as a legal analyst for the aforementioned, when the verdict was released, Turley was not optimistic for Nitwit Nero's hopes of no.
So we know that he did not testify. He is saying in a statement earlier today before the verdict, and we can bring Jonathan back in here on this one, that he would appeal on the basis of unconstitutional silencing, that he's a current political candidate, and that he can't speak or respond while she can. But Jonathan, he was asked if he wanted to testify in person here, and he declined, correct?
Yeah, that dog won't hunt. If that's the argument on appeal, then it's going to be a rather quick appeal. There are other issues here that he might appeal on. Judge Kaplan was really quite yielding on the demands for witness testimony. He allowed in a lot of evidence, including the Hollywood Access tape and these other witnesses. Obviously, Trump had never been convicted or found guilty, either criminally or civilly, in those cases. So there was a lot of evidence here that the defense could say should not have been brought into the case or should have been handled differently. The problem for President Trump is that this is a mixed question of law and fact. There are some legal issues here, like the ones I mentioned about allowing in certain types of testimony. But when it comes to factual determinations, the Court of Appeals tends to be leery of overturning those. Jury decisions are really sort of iron-plated because you have to show that they were clearly erroneous.
And by the way, I asked that question of Steve, and Steve kindly answered. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, this is one of the perils of working without Annette. I mean, Annette's just through the next wall there, but no, I mean, you know, gets confusing. This trial was held in federal court, so the state court appellate divisions don't matter. He's going to appeal this to the United States Circuit Court of Appeals for what, the Second Circuit? And what Turley says is true. Judges do tend to give deference to the fact-finding of a jury because the jury was there, the jury heard the evidence, the jury was properly instructed. And so, well, you know what the game is here. Get it up to Fappy and Sammy Bad Breath and Ann's Boy Neil and Brat and the Handmaid and Old Balls and Strikes, and maybe the fix is in.
They're not going to be able to show that here with all this testimony. So the only way to really unravel this is to say that the jury heard things that they shouldn't have been allowed to hear because they were too prejudicial. Yeah. The biggest problem for the president, I think, at trial.
Ex-president Jonathan.
And it's going to be on appeal, is he decided not to testify. He didn't even appear in the courtroom. That not only triggered inferences, but it likely...
Joe Takapenis is going to get sued for... He'll probably sue him for, oh, I don't know, ineffective assistance of counsel or just plain old-fashioned legal malpractice. There's going to be so much mud slung. It's going to be all mud.
Poison the well a bit for these jurors. Jurors don't like it. They don't like it in criminal or civil cases when the key accused party doesn't speak to them.
Okay. So we do have some of...
Okay. Wonder how many $1 million she... gets for saying, okay. It's a great gig until you have to, at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, until you have to eat that shit sandwich. Yeah, Steve, I thought it was in federal court, but I wasn't sure. Yeah, it was. I apologize. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. So, oh, and thank you to Darlene. Thank you so much for the challenge yesterday evening. I would say that it has been met by the folks who jumped in today. I assume they knew about the challenge. So we are down to 7:10 in our mad dash to stave off the depredations of the Appalachian Electric Power extortion racket. It is, jeez, it is Titanic Tuesday, and just to sort of go away from Nitwit Nero for a moment, there's a new episode of rampant and ridiculous and dumber-than-dirt paranoia at work in Merca. Yeah, because Merca. Well, this has to do with Whole Foods. I've heard of it. Never really shopped there. Don't have one around here. Whole paycheck. But Whole Foods, they sell products from Aero Farms, A-E-R-O Farms. Thank you. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. The message over at Venmo, extortionist electric racket bill paying. Thank you. So $700 is where we are now. Thank you, Christopher, so much for being there. Now, Aero Farms, their CEO was seen on a video. And the video shows Aero Farms products on the shelves at Whole Foods. Okay. And this is sort of an anatomy of a paranoid freakout kind of thing, because the process here is breathtakingly dumb. So the video, like I said, shows Arrow Farms on Whole Foods Market shelves. And then there's a video that shows the CEO of Arrow Farms talking about work to create, quote, therapeutic solutions and vaccine boosters to aid in staving off COVID-19. There's text on the screen that follows, and then it says, are Whole Foods customers being injected with the C-19 mRNA shot via food products without their customers' knowledge or consent? See, they're just asking questions. They're jacking off. They're just asking questions. You know, like Joe Rogan, that crowd, just asking questions. Yeah. Then the next screen says, this is attempted murder. Oh, God. No one is... There's no Rona boosters. In refried beans or whatever it is that Arrow Farms produces. Now, what they have done, Arrow Farms their chief marketing officer, a guy named Mark Oshima, said all that goes into our plants are water and nutrients. But they've come up with methods of vertical farming, which they have called their intellectual property, so that they can grow things like lettuce and spinach in a smaller space. And they're non-GMO. But their CEO, David Rosenberg, said, we're exploring very specific therapeutic solutions and vaccine boosters, as well as creating a platform to produce proteins for protein-based vaccine solutions. What that means is that down the road they would like to maybe grow plants that have proteins in them that can be synthesized into parts of vaccines. But that's not how this shit rolls in Merca in the third decade of the 21st century. And this goes hand in hand with previous claims that there's mRNA vaccines in our meat and milk because they done vaccinated the aminals. Makes my head hurt. And meanwhile, the person who started that post, who put up that post, is nowhere to be found, because of course. Oh, and I need, I'm awarding myself a cowbell. Just a quick one. Because we were talking about this a week or so ago, and I predicted this. Yet once again, this program is so far out ahead of the curve, it's like being on straight road. Have a cowbell, Robin. Headline, Tucker Carlson announces new show on Twitter after Fox News firing. We're back. Yep. He posted the video Tuesday, today, on Twitter, saying that he's rebooting his nasty little racist commentary show on Twitter. Now, I said he would do it on Twitter, and y'all said, no. Not a big enough platform. This is Leon Scum we're talking about. And so, for as long as testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson's contract is in effect, he's still getting paid by Fox, but he can't appear on another TV network while he's under contract. So it was a 3-minute video, and he said, soon we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We'll bring some other things too, which we'll tell you about, but for now we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. See you soon. Well, that's going to get the gun humpers mad.
Most important amendment in the whole Constitution is the Second Amendment, because that keeps the jackbooted tyrannical thugs from putting their jackbooted jackboots down on your freedom-loving neck right next to the tattoo that says, only God can judge me.
Hey. I was right. Because he and Leon Scum just seemed like a match made in hell, don't they? I'm not running the video. I'm not running the audio of that video. That was just gross and yuck. Let's see what else here. From Theo, bravo, Ms. Carroll. But she's not the only brave survivor of 45's disastrous career. Hi, Robin. And as much as I admire Ms. Carroll for her pursuit of justice against TFG, the former guy, the estranged, abused wife of one of his would-be bootlickers is also seeking a favorable courtroom outcome. I'm talking about Tasha Adams, the estranged wife of Oathkeeper founder Elmer Stewart Rhodes. That would be Elmer Stewie, you'll shoot your eye out, kid, Rhodes. Bang! I'm in touch with Tasha online, and she's trying to get a divorce from him finalized. Her account of their marriage is appalling by any rational standard. She's had to raise their children essentially by herself in isolated households, keeping a household together while Stewie was off playing the role of a militia leader and sucking money out of donors. Her account at rawstory.com is wrenching to say the least, but she's a brave, brave lady. And I hope she can get the justice she richly deserves. Thank you for that, Theo. And Steve in New York went back and looked. I took a quick look at the rape statutes in New York. The rape statutes all require sexual intercourse. The crime of criminal sexual act requires oral sex or anal sex conduct. The crime of sexual abuse requires sexual contact. That's why they found him liable for what they did. Yeah, because, well, they couldn't entirely sort out whether he got it in. Dear God. So gross. Thanks, Steve. Like a mushroom. I mentioned banned books last night in my conversation with Mark in Florida. A little bit of a follow-up on that. The American Library Association has their most banned books of 2022 list out now. Came out yesterday. And heading the list, the memoir by Maya Kobab, Gender Queer. Also, all boys aren't blue. George M. Johnson. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. It really does say so much that a writer of Toni Morrison's stature is on the banned book list. Flamer by Mike Corrado. Looking for Alaska by John Green. The Perks of Being a Wallflower by Stephen Chbosky. Lawn Boy by Jonathan Evison. Sherman Alexie's The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. Ashley Hope Perez penned Out of Darkness. Sarah J. Maas wrote A Court of Mist and Fury. Crank by Ellen Hopkins. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl by Jesse Andrews. And Juno Dawson's This Book is Gay. The Bluest Eye is unflinching in its examination of racism as well as sexual abuse. Sherman Alexie's The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian is that, well, its protagonist is a teenage Native American. There are accounts of violence and sexuality in that because violence and sexuality is a part of the lives of young people in the United States. And sexual violence. But, you know, Ron Monkey up DeKlantis and others get, Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw in Alabama, get all worked up about that. A Court of Mist and Fury is just a fantasy novel. You know, swords, horses, maidens, heroes. But all things being said, 2022 set a record for banned books in the United States. What does it say about us that we far prefer to ban discussion of ideas, which do no immediate physical harm, but we cannot bring ourselves to ban fucking weapons of war? Deborah Caldwell Stone is the director of the ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom, and she said, I've never seen anything like this. The last 2 years have been exhausting, frightening, and outrage-inducing. Oh, this is how fascists roll. Before Hitler even came to power, the Nazis were burning books. The book Out of Darkness by Ashley Hope Perez, it's a young adult novel. She said, I'm a former high school teacher, and I think about the kids who are losing access to stories that they need. Many of the people bringing challenges don't even have school-aged children. For the most part, it's not actually parents concerned about their kids. It's people who have been swept up into a political game. Because that game is a good dollar. It's a big dollar. And right-wing tax-exempt grifts will provide it gladly. I mentioned the idea of how hard it is to ban a gun. Today, Representative Gene Wu declared, "There is no safe place in America anymore." They were coming for and calling out Texas Governor Greg Aspott. Hold on. Got to deal with the ads. Because always. How is it that a shooting at a mall in Allen, Texas has managed to stir up the ire of people there perhaps even more than the slaughter at Uvalde? Or maybe it's cumulative. Maybe the consecutive nature of it. One after another, and people are finally at a breaking point. Well, here's Eugene Wu. Assuming, of course, that I pot him up.
You have prayed for an answer. You have begged for a solution. The solution is standing right here. Your answer is looking you in the face. There is no safe place in America anymore. There is no church that's safe. There is no school that's safe. There's no shopping mall that's safe. There's no library that's safe. Not because of books. Not because of trans kids who want health care. But because of things that people own. Because we value things over people.
Ever since Uvalde, we've seen mass shootings across this nation, and cops come out and they tell you who died, they tell you who the shooter was, they tell you what the motivation was, and they do it all within 24 hours. Hell, they do it all within a few hours, and some of them show you the body cams that day. You saw that in Tennessee, you saw that in Chicago, you saw that in California, and you see it all across this country. But you don't see it here. And you don't see it here because there's one man in a center office in this building that doesn't want you to see what's going on.
And that one man is, of course, Greg Aspott. It feels like it, and you know, maybe this is, it'll just be gone again in a new cycle's time. But even Ken the Cuccinelli is going after Greg Aspott over immigration issues. Aspott has been bragging to anyone who will listen about how hard he is on people seeking to come to this country to escape the violence in their own. Somebody ought to tell them. Who's going to tell them? So Greg Aspott has announced a Texas Tactical Border Force. Okay. Here's that. Sorry, Ferd was coming through and I just had to mute for a minute. Here's the announcement. Behind a sign saying, "Securing the border." The hypocrisy is breathtaking.
Today we are deploying a new National Guard unit. It's called the Texas Tactical Border Force. Right now, as we're speaking, the Texas National Guard is loading Black Hawk helicopters and C-130s.
Where'd they get those, you reckon? Oh, taxpayers from New York and Vermont and Massachusetts and Connecticut. Hi, Darlene. Got to make sure I mention Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. Yeah, we're paying for those Blackhawks.
Deploying specially trained National Guard members for the Texas Tactical Border Force.
Yeah, see, them Texas Tactical Border Force specially trained National Guardsmen, they can immediately tell the difference between your Mexican and your Honduran Mexican and your Salvadoran Mexican and your Colombian Mexican and your Panamanian Mexican, your Nicaraguan Mexican. They know all about them Mexicans.
Jesus, he's... God. I hate that shit exists inside my head. All these years of watching pasty-faced, doughy old white men hate people who aren't them.
They will be deployed to hot spots along the border to intercept, to repel, and to turn back migrants who are trying to enter Texas illegally.
How can you tell if it's legal or illegal until you find out the nature of their claim? There is such a thing as legal asylum seekers. And how's this repelling going to take place? Do you shoot at them? Do you just murder them in cold blood? Or do you fire a warning shot over their heads and hope it stays over their heads?
We've seen some examples of the National Guard having done this already that we have now turned into an official operation.
Okay, so there's that. The National Guardsmen are referred to as elite soldiers, according to Aspot. Oh, dear God. Yes, of course. Steve in New York. Black helicopters! It's the UN! It's Jade Helm! The deep state done got to Greg Abbott! Sadly, Steve, they're probably... Yeah? Right. There are probably Texans who think that way.
So what we are doing is we are deploying today a new Texas Tactical Border Force made up of elite National Guard who are specifically trained for one thing, and that is to identify areas where illegal immigrants are trying to cross the border and to fill that gap and to repel them, to deny them access to entry into the United States. They can do it one of several ways. They can physically turn back those who are trying to cross the border illegally. Also, they were building immediate concertina wire border barriers that prevent people from coming across the border. You saw an early iteration of this back in December when you saw long lines of people trying to cross into El Paso. In a matter of 24 hours, the National Guard built a concertina wire border barrier, and it stopped that inflow immediately.
So the inflow was stopped immediately, so why are they still inflowing? Don't have a real good answer for that.
We're using strategies like that up and down the border to identify locations where the cartels are trying to smuggle people across the border and put a stop to it. So,
okay. So enter Ken the Cooch Cuccinelli, who was a big-time maggot and an immigration hardliner. Well, tweeting, he said, "I'm sorry to say, but my friend Greg Abbott is not being accurate here. He is not repelling illegal crossings despite having the constitutional authority to do so. Come on, Fox News, letting him spew this garbage unchallenged is an embarrassment." Oh, dear me. Fox spewing? Or the manufactured outrage. The vast majority of those people will probably be better and more law-abiding than a lot of people who were born here. but they're not wide enough to suit Greg Aspott. Not by a long shot. Oh my goodness, I need to find, I need some more data on this, a screenshot coming in from Flavio. George Santos, criminally charged by DOJ. Let me go and look. There we are. Federal offenses. This is from NBC4 New York. Saying that Anthony Santos, George DeVolder, King Charles III may be surrendering himself at the courthouse in New York tomorrow. NBC4 doesn't know what charges he's facing. Good guess that it's campaign finance related. So, we can do there is wait and see. Asked for comment, Nitwit Nero said,
George who? Never heard of the guy. Not my type.
And one other thing. Sometimes my magic 8-ball with the cracked screen that says answer hazy, ask again later, it turns out to be better than one might have expected. I said that, for instance, in places like Florida, fascism always begins with the weakest group possible. In this case, it's the current fascist hysteria over the LGBTQ community, and particularly trans kids, trans people. But that it will go from there. In fact, today is a dear friend of mine's birthday, and I called him to wish him a happy birthday. He has decamped from West Virginia to Florida. He's got family that go, you know, New York, Florida, and then he came here in the great hippie migration of the 70s. We've been friends for 32 years. He just retired. And so he's down there. And he said, you know, come on down anytime you want. We got an extra bedroom. I said, Larry, I can't. I can't so much as set foot in the state of Florida. He goes, oh, yeah, sorry. Right. I understand. Larry's Jewish. And I said, well, you know, that's where the pink triangle started with us, but, you know, then came the yellow star of David. He goes, oh, don't think I don't know it, but there's a lot of us down here. And I say all that by way of pointing up a bill that Monkey Up DeClantis signed into law today. He found somebody else to go after. Don't worry, the LGBTQ community won't be getting any relief out of this, but ta-da! Let's see. Pink Peril, that's us, to, wait for it, Yellow Menace.
They have...
Look at this.
And we got to deal with the ad again. He signed legislation today, Monkey Up did, to prevent Chinese people from being able to purchase land in Florida. Racist much, Ron? And of course, it came with the usual raft of fear mongering and hatred for which he is rapidly becoming ever so well known.
They have had a concerted effort to acquire farmland throughout the United States. In fact, they were trying to acquire land in Florida in Levy County. And that ended up not working out, thankfully, because there was some opposition. But nevertheless, you see what they're doing. And I look at things like farmland. It's important for community. It's important for business and jobs and the economy. But our food security is also national security. And so we don't want the CCP in charge of any of
the CCP. By the way, all Republican governors stand behind signs or banners with, I mentioned the one with Greg Asbot. Well, Monkey Up is standing behind a sign that says, "Stop CCP influence." I hate to tell this little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby, because he is. I think we can probably safely say that the reason he is the shitty human being that he is probably because he was bullied relentlessly when he was a kid in school. You get the idea that Monkey Up just walked around with a kick me sign on his back. And he's probably obsessed with who goes to the bathroom where because of the number of swirlies that he got and wedgies. But the whole, "The Chinese are buying everything" bullshit. Well, that good ship sailed and sunk a long time ago. Maybe I'd still be able to get Smithfield's Cumberland Gap brand hog jowl. But no, that went away with the pandemic, I guess. But China bought Smithfield Meats. Maybe over 10 years ago?
The food production. So when you see that, when you see what they're doing in the Western Hemisphere to expand their influence, we really need to have a unified effort in this country to deter the CCP's ambitions and their influence. The legislation, SB 264, will prohibit the purchase of farmland in Florida by the CCP and other foreign countries of concern. Because we believe protecting our food supply is a security.
Wait, other foreign countries of concern. So does that mean that the Irish can come here and buy land in Florida, but the Chinese can't? Does that mean that Australians can come here and buy land in Florida, but Chinese can't? I wonder about the Russians. I wonder if Russians... Wait a minute. Yeah, they can buy... Yeah. Because there's entire apartment buildings that are... nothing but Russian oligarchs. No problem with them. Well, their leader is a fascist just like Monkey Up is. See how it works?
...the issue, and we want to make sure that our agriculture land is not compromised by CCP influence. Now,
how? Anybody want to help here? Bueller? Anybody? How does the Chinese Communist Party influence farmland? Are the orange groves in Florida at risk of taking a great leap forward? Is there going to be a cultural revolution on cattle farms in Levy County? This guy's just transparent. I know we use the word fascist, but he is so transparently fascist.
Prohibition in that bill is not just limited to farmland. It also includes land within 10 miles of any military installation or any type of critical infrastructure in our state.
At some point, somebody has to stop him. Politically. Maybe if he, and the timing works out so well for him because he was reelected governor just this past election cycle, 22. And that means that he'll still be governor when he's running for president, assuming that he does. Jeez. Ralph's pointing out, you know, the Chinese Communist Party has probably already bought most of the farmland in Florida. Wouldn't surprise. I mean, free enterprise, capitalism, man, they love it until they don't, right? The Chinese are coming! The Chinese are coming! I wonder if they've been running with this on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. I wonder if Emery and Marveline are polishing up their Mandarin. Oh my God, Matt in San Francisco. Farmland. They're gonna grow tofu! Of course, Matt, everyone knows that a Chinese farmer was among the first to throw a brick at Stonewall. See what you've done to me? Chinese nationals buying up land in the U.S. Flavio says, a Brazilian multinational, JBS, named after the founder, Joao Batista, Filho, runs the beef industry in the U.S. Not surprising. I had just come back to air, maybe 2004, 2005. And I remember the news story that said that the United States was no longer a primary producer of our own food. That we were importing more than we were producing. And that's worrisome. I mean, I had a box of, I know, carbs. I had a box of Ritz crackers. I have a Ritz cracker problem. And lo and behold, a global multinational now owns Nabisco, the national biscuit company, for Christ's sakes. Every major mass production bread bakery in the United States is owned by a Mexican firm, if I recall correctly. This is just capitalism. Chinese purchases. Canada did this largely because they asserted Chinese rich folks, in particular, apparently, were buying real estate and renting properties out or using them for themselves only as vacation homes, depleting the housing stock, causing prices to rise. The Airbnbization of Vancouver. Theo, subject line, the heathen Chinese. Hey, Robin, do you get the feeling that governor is going to start quoting that old racist piece of Bret Hart doggerel any minute now? I'm just waiting. I would not be at all. Seems to be on course. But more importantly, I think, Theo, is that he has found his target. He's found his next target for his fascist crusade. His next group of they and them and those. Because the fascist always has to search to find new out groups to cite as the real cause of all our problems. Well, I'm so glad that somebody got it. I asked about Emery and Marveline polishing up their Mandarin. Steve in New York sends me a picture of Mandarin oranges growing on the tree. Thank you. JBS, Flavio says, runs the slaughterhouses in all the beef-producing states where all the child labor will be used. Yeah, I saw that story, I guess maybe toward the end of last week or this past weekend, about a number of McDonald's franchisees who were getting busted, had been busted by federal labor officials for working 10-year-olds, employing 10-year-olds in McDonald's. Lord. That probably gave Governor Jethreen Bodine in Arkansas a real tingle. You're right, David, South Carolina Stein. The fascist. Acronyms are so scary. The CCP! A little bit of good news. At Arlington National Cemetery, there's a monument. Oddly enough, at a place like Arlington, lo and behold, it is a Confederate memorial. And so Arlington National Cemetery has announced they're going to remove it. About damn time. It is in line with the directive from the Pentagon and the Secretary of Defense to remove from U.S. military facilities all names, symbols, displays, monuments, and paraphernalia that honor or commemorate the Confederacy. The Arlington Confederate Memorial was dedicated in 1914. Oh my. And the bronze life-sized figures are a nostalgic, mythologized vision of the Confederacy, including highly sanitized depictions of slavery. One of the depictions is of a Confederate soldier handing his baby to an enslaved nurse. And the enslaved nurse is weeping to see him go off to war. And an enslaved valet marches proudly alongside the soldier. Well, naturally, the neo-Confederates are having a conniption. They filed a lawsuit to defend the monument. And they found themselves, you know, they dragged a $100 bill through a trailer park and found four plaintiffs who are offended. I tell you, they are offended. They are brokenhearted and butthurt. The lawsuit filed in the District Court of D.C. Defend Arlington, care of Save Southern Heritage Florida, Friends of Judah P. Benjamin Camp of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, also in Florida, Then there's Harold K. Edgerton of Asheville, North Carolina, Edwin Kennedy Jr. of Newmarket, Alabama, Richard A. Mumaw of Mount Jackson, Virginia, and Teresa Roan of North Chesterfield, Virginia, are all suing to save the memorial. The memorial was originally named New South by its creator, Moses Ezekiel.
Really?
And the plaintiff's suit says it's viewed as a tribute to the spirit of reconciliation and healing it represents. It's sometimes referred to as the Reconciliation Memorial, but they don't say by whom. Maybe it's the Judah P. Benjamin chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans in Florida. And the Florida coat of arms is on the memorial, so that's what gives Florida standing. The Judah P. Benjamin Camp was formed as a subdivision of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, whose mission is to defend the good name of the Confederate veteran and preserve their history into future generations. Kind of got to have a good name before you can defend it, don't you? And they go on to claim that, like Judah P. Benjamin, Moses Ezekiel was Jewish. Plaintiff Harold K. Edgerton is an individual residing in North Carolina. Plaintiff Edgerton is a Confederate Southern American of African ancestry. As an active and vocal defender of Southern culture and history and the honor of the Confederate soldier, both black and white, Plaintiff Edgerton is often invited to speak on these issues in front of the memorial. He identifies with the African-American images on the memorial and believes that its removal erases his black family's participation in the Confederate struggle for independence from America's most prominent military history museum. What? Plaintiff Mumaw has ancestors buried in Section 16 of the Arlington National Cemetery. Plaintiff Mumaw travels to Arlington with his family to honor those familial descendants that honorably served in our military. I just don't know which military they mean. Removal of the Reconciliation Memorial, as it is commonly known by. Somebody's not a very good legal draftsperson. Attributes a stigma of dishonor and disgrace to those soldiers, including plaintiff's descendants, causing grave harm. Plaintiff Mumaw and the other plaintiffs will be harmed by agency action challenged herein because the deconstruction and removal of the memorial through the use of heavy equipment, jackhammers, digging, sawing, and throngs of workers tramping through the area may cause damage to existing headstones and graves in the serene surrounds of Section 16. Then there's Plaintiff Edwin L. Kennedy, Jr. Goodness me. He's an individual residing in Alabama. He has ancestors buried in unknown graves across the South and believes that the memorial commemorates and marks the graves of his ancestors. Believes. In a manner similar to the tomb of the unknown soldier, removal of the memorial will cause him grave harm. Well, Edwin, you're in Alabama. It's not that far to Shiloh in Tennessee, and there's a memorial over a big old pit that they dug and dumped all the Confederate traitorous dead in and covered it back up again. So go weep there, you fuck. And then there's Teresa E. Roan. She's the past archivist for the Museum of the Confederacy, and she's given speeches in front of the memorial. Well, that's two of them who have at least been there. Plaintiff Roan has been invited to speak at the memorial on June 4th. Removal will negatively impact Plaintiff Roan's economic opportunities, her grift, associated with historic and Civil War tour guide opportunities. It goes on and on and on. You can almost see the tear stains pixelated on the page. Yeah. So, as the article I'm looking at from The Nation points out, Aaron L. Thompson, writer, only two of these plaintiffs seem ever even to have visited Arlington. One's a Confederate history tour guide, and the other a descendant of some of the soldiers buried in the memorial. The thing is, though, they're not taking the whole thing down. They're just removing the bronze elements, you know, with the weeping, loyal, enslaved nurse and the stoic, marching black Confederate. God, this is the Dave Chappelle skit all over again. So, hopefully, that lawsuit goes down in flames. The George Santos news is all over the place. John in Central PA, Santos charged. The feds are preparing to charge George Santos. About time. New York Times with the breaking news email. Again, says he'll be charged, but doesn't say with what. We got to wait on that part. Confederates in Arlington, Steve in New York, says, where the hell else in the world is the official military cemetery commemorating those who have died in service to the country, have memorials of those who took arms against the country? You know, a memorial for traitors. Well, I've seen World War I memorial statuary in Germany, but nothing like here. Of course, I remember when old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, caused a bit of a shitstorm by going and laying a wreath on the tomb of a dead Nazi, an SS officer. It's who they are, y'all. It just is. By the way, we're past the halfway mark of the program. I've been Phil Robstering for an hour and 45 minutes. And if you'd like to get into the conversation, you're mightily welcome so to do. We're down to $700 to go on the fundraising goal. I'm not kidding when I say it's desperate. I don't like the idea of sitting here in the dark on the 11th, wishing I was on the air. So, it's reducible. We need the help. Again, I wish I was making this up. I am not. I don't make any of this up. This is what it's like trying to run a program and not be independently wealthy. So any help is great help. And thanks to everybody who already has. Thank you so much. if we could, you know, whatever. I'll keep sending them money, but they're not going to be happy until they, you know, get the full extortion amount. And then they can use that to go and hire lawyers to argue for their next rate increase. God, it would be so great to have a roof covered in solar panels and a battery bank in here and just be off the grid. Actually, well. Jeremy in Vermont, Confederate tears. These Confederate sympathizers and crybabies are the same type who screamed Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone died with honor defending the Alamo. Well, Daniel Boone was probably already dead, but you know he died in Missouri. Davy Crockett was just running from bill collectors, but yeah, they were fighting to keep people enslaved because Texas at the time was part of Mexico, and Mexico had ended slavery. True. What, Flavio? Not exaggerating. Iowa Republicans passed bill to allow 14-year-olds to work in meat coolers. Governor Kim Reynolds, maggot, has called child labor laws unnecessary restrictions and has said that the bill will allow children to save money for college in a state with a $7.25 an hour minimum wage. Way to go, Iowa. Hint, those kids aren't saving money for college. And Kim Reynolds has no desire to ever see them go. Once again, it's hard not to draw the line between Nitwit Nero's program that kidnapped children, literally tore babies away from their mother's breasts at the border, and the sudden fascination of Republicans with eliminating child labor laws. Funny how that happens, huh? Okay, and back to my filthy morning habit for a minute. Liz Cheney has put out a new ad. She is needling Nitwit Nero. She is apparently a member of STS as well. And they ran it this morning on my filthy morning habit.
Former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney is out with a new political ad just this morning warning voters of the dangers of a second Trump presidency. Join us from Manchester, New Hampshire, NBC News correspondent Vaughn Hilliard. Vaughn, tell us more about the ad.
Hey, well, let's start off. First, you guys were just talking about which Republicans, which voices in leadership in folks' communities are speaking up against Donald Trump in 2023. The answer to that is Liz Cheney. Over the last 2 years, Liz Cheney has cemented herself as the individual in American politics who has done whatever it takes to take on Donald Trump. She sacrificed her congressional seat, losing to Trump-backed Harriet Hageman. She lost in her Republican primary in Wyoming last August, and it was on that stage she said she would do in the years to come whatever it took to make sure that Donald Trump did not get back into the White House. Fast forward to where we are today. On New Hampshire television, folks here in New Hampshire are going to be waking up to a new TV ad from the political organization of Liz Cheney, in which she makes a direct effort to talk about the risk of a Donald Trump presidency. We talk about the character, and we have heard time and again from conversations with Republican voters that, you know, they may grimace at January 6th. They may grimace at Donald Trump's character. But what Liz Cheney, in this ad you're about to watch, does is try to make the case about risk of another Donald Trump presidency, what it would look like. Take a listen to what folks in New Hampshire are waking up to here today.
Donald Trump is the only president in American history who has refused to guarantee the peaceful transfer of power.
Joe Biden,
he lost the election and he knew it.
To become the president.
He betrayed millions of Americans by telling them the election was stolen.
Stop the steal.
He ignored the rulings of dozens of courts. Rather than accept his defeat, he mobilized a mob to come to Washington and march on the Capitol. Then he watched on television while the mob attacked law enforcement, invaded the Capitol, and hunted the vice president. He refused for 3 hours to tell the mob to leave. There has never been a greater dereliction of duty by any president. Trump was warned repeatedly that his plans for January 6th were illegal. He didn't care, and today he celebrates those who attacked our Capitol. Donald Trump has proven he is unfit for office. Donald Trump is a risk America can never take again.
What's notable in that ad is that you never see Liz Cheney. It is clearly an effort by her and her political organization to undercut Donald Trump's candidacy. There are other Republicans at play, and you'll go back to last year. Liz Cheney, she put out a $500,000 ad buy in Arizona, taking on the likes of Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham. Both of those candidates narrowly lost those key races. And in talking with aides to Liz Cheney, she intends over the months ahead to continue to be a part of what she says is this battle. She is teaching a class at the University of Virginia. She is also releasing a memoir in November. To note, she is not a presidential candidate as of yet, but at this point in time, she has not ruled out a potential bid of her own, guys.
All right, fascinating. NBC's Vaughn Hilliard in Manchester, New Hampshire. Vaughn, thanks so much. Donnie, what do you mean?
Well, that's fun. STS, STS. Hope it doesn't hurt too little. So, we've had a sighting of Megan. Of course, Santa Claus is white. Kelly. Who is now telling people to shut up talking about guns. Over at the Daily Beast, William Valancourt reported, despite yet another mass shooting over the weekend, this time at a shopping mall in Allen, Texas, by an apparent neo-Nazi armed with an AR-15, armed with 8 weapons, legally purchased weapons, lawful gun hunter, you know. Former Fox News host Megyn Kelly is fed up with seeing debates over gun control in the news. Kelly essentially reiterated sentiments she put on Twitter in a response to the shooting, which killed 8 and wounded 7 others. In one tweet, she posed a question for gun control advocates. I saw this. It was nauseating. Must we just stay here sad, concerned, lamenting? Could we possibly talk other solutions? You lost. You lost the gun debate. You're ruining any chance at change by not admitting that the gun debate is lost. Even if the Supreme Court were to allow a ban on AR-15s, it would serve no purpose. Everybody would just use their semi-automatic pistols. That's what was used at the most deadly school shooting of all time, Virginia Tech. So we need to face reality, okay? The states that have the strictest gun laws, New York, California, Connecticut, where I am now. Oh my God, Darlene, I'm so sorry. She's in Connecticut. Have had multiple mass shootings in this past decade. They don't work any better than the states that have lenient gun laws like Texas. Only that's not true, and Megyn Kelly is, of course, a liar. Because the fact of the matter is, states that have tighter gun laws have fewer shootings, including fewer mass shootings. In fact, California Governor Gavin Newsom recently weighed in on a cell phone, not a cell phone, self-own, and burned Greg Asbot to the ground. Sunday, the day after the Allen massacre, Assbot showed up on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda because, of course, he did. And he said,
I think that the state in which the largest number of victims occurred this year is in California, where they have very tough gun laws.
There's only one problem, and Gavin Newsom nailed him with it. He noted on Twitter that Assbot conveniently ignored the reality that the gun death rate in Texas is 73% higher than that in California. And I don't cipher good, and even I know that's big. Governor Newsom said he accidentally points to exactly why we need federal gun safety laws. And on Saturday, Gavin Newsom said, is that freedom to be shot at a mall, shot at school, shot at church, shot at the movies? We've become a nation that's more focused on the right to kill than the right to live. Ooh, that's going to sting the right to lifers, too. This is not what the American people want. Do your damn job, Congress. Gavin Newsom feels quite presidential, actually. He'd be a great choice in 28. Good God, we're talking about 2028. We're not even to 2024 yet. That's where we are. Meanwhile, Megyn Kelly, of course Santa Claus is black. Or white. Santa's white, not black. White. Megyn wants hardened malls and schools, you know. I guess guys were standing around with semi-automatic assault rifles who might or might not go crazy in their own right and, well, or just, you know, get a little disgusted and start shooting. She wants that, and she wants improved mental health services, but she's a conservative Republican, so no word on how that's going to be paid for. Oh, well. This is kind of nice. I ran across this. This comes from Australia. This is how bad it's gotten in the United States. Australian politicians are now citing Florida as a hub of racism and bigotry, only because it is. Sorry, my good Floridian friends. The premier of the state of Victoria is Daniel Andrews. And he stood up in the parliament at Canberra after some shitbirds attacked a gathering of kids for a drag queen story time. And apparently, Daniel Andrews has... Well, he doesn't mince his words.
Speaker, I'm saddened to have to rise to make a statement to the House in relation to quite shameful conduct out at the city of Monash last week and decisions that, very sadly, the CEO and the Mayor of that council have had to make in relation to cancelling a number of events, events that are about celebrating diversity, events that are about sending a message to often some of the most vulnerable people in our Victorian community, that they are loved, they are respected, they are safe, and they are supported by their government and their community. Now, I make this statement not just as the Premier of a state where equality is not negotiable. I also make this statement as a long-time ratepayer in the city of Monash. I don't know how many of these protesters, with not an exercise of free speech, but an exercise in hate speech, violence, bigotry, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia. The list goes on. Ugly scenes. Ugly scenes on any measure. On any measure, including, can I say, death threats against council officers and councillors. It is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. It's shameful. And my message to those people is very clearly, if you want to behave like the worst elements of the Floridian Republican Party, well, get to Florida. Head over there, where your hateful views might be worth something. They're worth nothing here. We won't stand for this sort of ugly behaviour. It's appalling. And I again make the point, it's not about free speech. This is hate speech, plain and simple. Plain and simple. It is wrong. It is out of step with the values of fair-minded, you know, decent, mainstream Victorians. It is on the fringe. But enough about those people. Let's send the clearest message, Speaker, that equality is not negotiable. And despite the carry-on and the shameful behaviour of a small few, this government and this community remains committed to every single Victorian, no matter who they are or who they love.
Hear, hear. Huzzah! Kind of sad, really. That's what the. Yeah. I wonder if Monkey Up will have a retort. He's probably a member of the CCP. And of course, the way things go in parliaments, I couldn't tell if people were objecting to what he said. It's possible, or hearing and huzzahing him for what he said. I don't know. But I'm awfully damn proud that he said it. So, we got that. Good for him. Good on you, mate. He even went to Twitter to share that video. And, of course, there's the usual assholes and idiots. Joanne Harris describes herself as a feminist and said, parents, many of them mums, gathering to protest kids being exposed to adult content is the furthest thing from sexism. Get a grip. It's only one problem. There's no adult content. A beautiful queen in a Cinderella dress is not adult content. Oh, but here we are. I mentioned Governor Jethreen Bodine from Arkansas. She apparently lives in, like, I don't know, some sort of alternate Arkansas. Haley's probably already heard this.
We want people to know Arkansas is open for business. Our economy is strong. Our state is doing well.
Is it?
We don't let the government dictate every minute and every second of your life here in our state. We believe not only in individual and personal freedom, but in making sure that we do things that protect those freedoms. And we have seen people from all over the country, blue states in particular, flooding into our state. You know, it was interesting. Over the course of 2 years on the campaign, I traveled to all 75 counties. And every single stop we went to, we would meet someone who had moved to Arkansas from another state, predominantly California. And the message I gave them was very simple. Welcome to Arkansas. Don't forget why you left California. And we are excited to take those people in. Our door is open. We're going to keep taking them as long as they remember why they left those blue states in the first place.
because there's a mass exodus of Californians coming to lovely Arkansas. That we don't let government dictate every minute of your life. This is a woman who signed a bill to stop the use of a word, Latinx. Now, here's the problem with her assertions. It's the fourth poorest state in the union. It's desperately hard to find housing. Food insecurity abounds. They're obsessed with who goes potty where. They've got their own little don't say gay bill. And she says that she's met people, you know, from in all, good God, 75 counties in Arkansas. And in every county, she's met somebody who's moved there mostly from California. Of course, she doesn't want Californians who aren't straight, who aren't white, who aren't Christian, who don't vote Republican. Right. And the state of Arkansas would be fucking lost without the monies coming in from states like California, Washington, Oregon, New York, Connecticut, and she was on the podcast with Dan Bongino, who recently got bounced from Fox just a little bit before testicle toasting Tokyo Rose Carlson went bye bye. They're protected, but in Arkansas, they're protecting the freedom to hate. Because like the premier of the state of Victoria in Australia said, that's all this is, hate speech. Thank you to our buddy Texas T. He just got us down under the $700 mark. We're down to $690 to go. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. Let's all cross our fingers and hope the program's here on the 11th. Thank you. Stephen, New York, illegal migrants. I heard this language from Greg Aspott, and I remembered something. This is the exact language the Tories, especially Rishi Sunak and Suella Braverman, are using about refugees crossing the English Channel in the UK, using terms like illegal migration and phrases like legal asylum claims. The Guardian reporting that Tories pushing for tougher migration, a tougher migration bill, could make a tactical retreat. They want to pull the UK out of the European Convention on Human Rights. Because, well, as Claire pointed out to us, the most recent round of council elections didn't work out too well. Not for the Tories, at least. Let's see. And then there's this. I didn't get to it last night. Oh, yeah, that is her. Jethrine Bodine, Matt in San Francisco, asked, isn't she the one who said she heard from numerous FBI agents that say that they were happy about their 6'8" director being fired by Nitwit Nero? When pressed about it, you know, under oath in a deposition, she had to admit that she actually heard from no one and basically made the entire thing up. Sure. Tell me about more about the influx from California. Yeah, Lots of influxing going on. But, you know, pastor, brother, minister Mike Huckstaby raised her and his good Christian one man, one woman biblical marriage wife raised her right. I will never forget when she got bounced out of a little restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, the Red Hen. I hope they're still going strong. Next time I'm back that way, I need to go and have lunch there. Solidarity, y'all. Yeah, you're going to have to leave. None of the people here want to serve you because, like, you know, we've got LGBTQ people here. And they know you're hateful, so bye, Felicia. Bye. Yeah. But I did. I wanted to get to this story. Bernadette sent it along yesterday. I ran out of time. But this is kind of hilarious. And it also ties in with the whole phenomenon of AI. Some AI thingamajig has... That's a fancy computer science term, thingamajig. An AI has created a Beatles song. And it sounds like the Beatles. No Beatles, alive or dead, were involved in the production. Kind of weird. So it turns out, this has nothing to do with that. It turns out that last week, I guess, Alex Jones's phone rang. And it showed up as being testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson's number. And Alex answered it. Well, it wasn't testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. It was a comedian by the name of Chris James who does prank calls. He's a Canadian, Chris James is. His performance name is Prank Stallone. Ha. And the Republican butthurt outrage is through the roof. Oh, they're mad. Because, Alex Jones was completely pranked. Bought it lock, stock, and barrel. Let's go to the audio.
I would introduce this one myself. I'm sure you've heard about this one if you're watching this episode. It is the AI Tucker Carlson call to Alex Jones. Normally I would have edited out some of the double ups and some of the nonsense in there, but just with everything that's happening, I decided to put it out audio untouched. So here it is, the audio from the Tucker Carlson Alex Jones AI call, as well as a call that I had with Alex Jones afterwards. Enjoy.
I love what, there's an on-screen, there's some on-screen text. And it says, this call uses a Tucker Carlson voice AI, and it's really obvious that it uses a Tucker Carlson voice AI. Really obvious to anybody but Alex Jones. You might want to get the hockey puck because there might be some rather profound giggling going on here.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, Alex, it's Tucker. Do you have a minute to talk?
Absolutely.
You busy right now, or you got a second to talk?
I just jumped out. What's going on, brother?
You busy right now, or you got a second to talk?
No, I just have a meeting with my wife. Go ahead.
I was thinking we could do a show together where we're topless and we suck each other's nipples and sort of play with them a bit. It would be a comment on gender roles,
really
sort of a funny parody
That's
thing.
That's a great idea.
Alex, they took my Bobby tie. What the fuck, man? Alex, they took my Bobby tie. What the fuck, man?
You got to go to InfoWars.com.
Did my number not come up?
What's going on, man?
Alex, they took my Bobby tie. What the fuck, man?
I know, it's not good. Well, it does sound like you, but the AI is so good now, you don't usually talk like that. Hey, are you there?
Am I on the air?
No, you're not on the air. I'm on a break.
So he finally figures it out because Alex Jones has a really big brain. And he knows he's been had.
Okay. Well, you got to tell me if I'm on the air, right? You know that, right?
Dude, you're not, are you? I'm not on air right now. You can watch my show. I'm running the tape.
I don't watch your show. But yeah, what's up? What can I do for you, my man?
Well, I mean, I can tell you, Tucker's getting his lawyers involved and stuff. I saw your tweets concerned about it. So you should come on the air and explain it all is just a prank. And then you're worried about the dangerous AI, and we can have a friendly interview. And I think that,
Tucker's getting his lawyers involved, but what exactly have I done that breaks the law?
Nothing.
Well, spoofing numbers and then representing yourself to somebody else.
But I sent you a text message immediately afterwards clarifying that it was me doing an AI, and you responded to that. So you acknowledged that it was me doing that.
Well, I don't acknowledge it. Listen. If you don't want to come on the air, that's your business.
Okay. I don't know why it switched to an Elvis impersonation, but yeah, okay. So here's the fun part. Yeah, he's threatening legal action because he's a dumbass who got pranked. The tweet got a lot of traffic. Okay, so let's say someone has Tucker Carlson's cell number and also Alex Jones's cell phone number and also an AI Tucker Carlson voice. They could, in theory, call Alex Jones and pretend to be Tucker and have a full conversation with him. Anyways, I just did that. Chris James, speaking to Rolling Stone, said he didn't actually think that it would work as well as it did. He said, I've called Alex Jones before, and he tends to answer his phone. I put Tucker Carlson's number in, but in my head, I thought it was just going to show up as a bunch of numbers. I was so ill-prepared for it because I assumed he would just hang up, but Jones engaged with it in the beginning as if it was a real conversation, even though it was very weird stuff the Tucker AI was saying. Yeah, the nipple stuff is for sure, maybe to anybody but Alex Jones, that might have been a clue. And Tucker's all upset. And there's nothing, there's nothing here. So on Thursday of last week, Alex Jones got all bent and complained on air. He thinks it's funny to call up Alex Jones and say, suck my titties. He stole Tucker Carlson's identity. He faked his number. He faked his voice. He called me and made sexual threats, basically. And he just thinks that's funny. Because in his sociopathic world, I don't exist. Alex Jones is fair game for any attacks. So is Tucker Carlson. We're going to find out who you're working with, buddy. You might not want to do that. The last time you did, you wound up with a whopping humongous judgment against you from the Sandy Hook families. Some people can't learn. Even though you think you're safe up in Canada, you're going to get arrested for what you did yesterday. So keep laughing, you little arrogant person. But did you notice how Alex Jones, when he was being taken in by the idea of doing a topless show with Tucker Carlson and engaging in some harmless nipple play, was okay with it as long as they did it on Infowars.com? Oh, he knows his audience. Somebody responding to the audio said, I think it's nice that every time he gets a phone call from now on, part of Alex's brain will be trying to figure out if it's AI. Well, that's delightful. Emilio noting, Alex Jones is incensed that someone didn't represent themselves honestly. I'm shocked, shocked. This is an outrage. I know. The guy who goes on and on about the transing of the frogs and the monkey jellyfish hybrids available for sale and purchase in the wet markets of Old Kowloon. Yeah, he's incensed, like Emilio says. And Chris James said he picks his targets for a reason. He particularly goes after people who peddle toxic, dangerous, ugly, vile rhetoric. The Canadian comedian says that you don't have to be American to understand the real-world harm conservative talking points have on marginalized groups. I think you would be wrong not to be a little freaked out by the level of discourse and how it's sort of boiling over. I have a lot of people who are trans who watch my channel, and the overwhelming feeling you get from them is this is a really scary time to be a trans person. Thanks for being sympathetic. And then there's James McMurtry. He's a singer and a songwriter, the son of Larry McMurtry, who wrote Lonesome Dove, and a brilliant artist in his own right. Well, he played Nashville recently. Thanks, Ralphs, for sending this along. James McMurtry played Nashville, and he played Nashville in a pretty little red print dress with a rope of pearls. It's a high cut. It was above the knee, rather daring. So he was sort of taunting the Nash Vegas cops to charge him with something. Thank you, Emilio. Thank you for jumping in. We are now down to 680. Thank you so much. We're going to try to get there. I'm going to be a nervous wreck until we do. And I'm going to say until and not if. Let's see here. By the way, Flavio said earlier, I despise that staccato voice of Greg Aspott. He's so odious. And Emilio, I'm sorry I missed this one. Is Jade Helm offered by Gwyneth Paltrow? Oh, that's awful. Delightful. But awful in its own right. And a little update. I mentioned yesterday that the Raise the Age gun bill made it out of the Texas House of Representatives committee. it's still uncertain what its fate will be when it makes it to the floor of the state of the House itself. The Speaker of the Texas House, Dade Phelan, continues to say he doesn't think it will pass the House. And Greg Aspott said, "Well, it's unconstitutional." Because this, you know, Texas wants Allen to happen. Texas wants Uvalde to happen. Sunderland Springs. This from the UK. Apparently, they can do things there that we can't do here. I know that's a very broad statement, but you'll see. So, an outlet called GB News launched in 2021. They were branded as an anti-woke conservative news channel. And they featured Naomi Wolf, who became an anti-vax conspiracy theorist, Lulu. In the appearance on GB News last October, she said the COVID-19 vaccines were like unto premeditated mass murder and the practices of, quote, doctors in pre-Nazi Germany. She said it three times on air. None of the talking heads, the presenters on the program, challenged her in the least. So in the UK, there's a government agency called Ofcom. They regulate television. And they said that GB News did not violated the broadcast code because they did not at any point challenge Naomi Wolf's remarks about vaccines. And Ofcom said it was a significant and alarming claim. They got over 400 complaints about her comments. That's the UK. Meanwhile, we've got someone who has said equally odious, equally unchallenged, equally wrong, equally dangerous things, and that fucker is running for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States. Meanwhile, according to NBC News, about 150 people are still dying from COVID-19 every day. And the threshold for herd immunity, so to speak, is 95% vaccination rate. The United States is at best at 81%. The UK is at 86%. About 86% of people in the UK have gotten two vaccine doses. The official statement from Ofcom said, "It is important to stress that in line with the right to freedom of expression, broadcasters are free to transmit programs that include controversial and challenging views, including about COVID-19 vaccines or conspiracy theories. However, alongside this editorial freedom, the Broadcasting Code imposes a clear requirement that if such content has the potential to be harmful, the broadcaster must ensure that its audience is adequately protected. Our investigation concluded that GB News fell short of this requirement by allowing Naomi Wolf to promote a serious conspiracy theory without challenge or context. There was also no scrutiny of the evidence she claimed to hold to support her claims." GB News, on the other hand, wept and wailed and rent their garments, claiming GB News has a different approach from many other factual channels. Well, there's a lot of work going on there, isn't there? "We put out controversial and contrarian ideas as a way of provoking thoughtful questioning and debate and reevaluation of important issues." And besides, we didn't say it was literal truth. And since Naomi Wolf is a Jewish woman herself, her comments about Nazi Germany were not excessive and a reasonable comparison. Curiously, though, the quote was pre-Nazi Germany. Mark Stein, S-T-E-Y-N, is a host at GB News. He's also been dinged by that agency. He was also in the Wolf segment. And they pointed out that he made a potentially harmful and materially misleading claim about vaccine boosters. And saying that they worsened conditions instead of making them better. GB News said, "We accept Ofcom's finding that our former presenter, Mark Stein, former, and his guest, Naomi Wolf, breached the Ofcom code in their broadcast about COVID vaccines last October. Mr. Stein last appeared on the channel 5 months ago. GB News chose to be an Ofcom-regulated channel, and we are proud to play our part in bringing a wider range of opinion to Britain's media landscape. We take Ofcom compliance seriously, and we... really? And we also take freedom of speech seriously. The balance between these two is not always clear-cut and presents vital issues for our democracy." Yeah. Urethra, declares Steve in New York. "How about we build a wall along the Texas northern border? It separates us from them and it separates them from us, woke, sane people." It's going to be a complicated wall. I don't think you can leave Arkenstan out there. And it probably needs to... Well, the Mason-Dixon line may come in handy again. Because I fear my beloved West Virginia will have to be walled off behind it, too. Then it truly will be what I've said all along about this program, broadcasting from behind the corn pone curtain. The headline said that GB News was punished. I didn't see anything in the story about the actual punishment. It is Titanic Tuesday, however, and I just wanted to share this headline with you because I saw it and I was like, what? It comes from that fish wrap called the Washington Examiner. Their stock in trade appears to be misogyny and various bigotries and phobias. Some self-loathing woman named Erica Anderson, never heard of her, wrote an opinion piece, the headline to which, and of course the writer doesn't choose the headlines, we understand that. Well, at least they didn't back when there were copy editors. I don't know about now. Get this. With abortion, women contribute to the crisis of manhood. Oh, I see. That's why Mauricio Garcia said, if men aren't entitled to sex, women aren't entitled to safety. That's what that is. And Erica Anderson, who absolutely despises herself, said, one in every five men may be silently suffering in the aftermath of a partner's abortion. And the liberal feminist movement makes it worse. Good God, what is she, an incel cheerleader? More than half of men who have been affected by abortion seek psychological support afterward. Most don't know what to look for, and few find it when they do, according to a new study from the nonpartisan organization Support After Abortion. Nonpartisan, my skinny white ass. When it comes to this contentious conversation, men are usually excluded. Well, are the men carrying the baby? whether it's a decision to abort or space to grieve the loss of a child. Secular feminists are clear. Keep your mouth shut. Well, yeah, they probably should. I mean, I remember that pasty-faced old white guy, the rich guy, who said,
the best way to prevent pregnancy, I always heard, was for a woman to put an aspirin between her knees.
How about you keep that thing in your pants there, Cletus? You won't have to worry about grieving over an abortion. In circumstances of unplanned pregnancy, men are shamed for believing their opinion matters. Emotional baggage isn't even a consideration. A man's grief is inconvenient, smashing the illusion that this is merely about a woman's bodily autonomy. This is that gross mythology of the forever suffering that takes place after an abortion. When the women I know who have had them have felt nothing so much as a supreme and profound sense of relief. The emotional toll that descends afterward. Oh, the horror, the horror. Depression, anxiety, and anger are common for men during this time, but there's nowhere for them to process it. Well, how about we have universal health care and lots of therapists? Nope, can't do that. This is a Republican rag. This is just a stomping of a straw man. Who's treating men as unimportant? By the way, Erica Anderson is not real good at the art of word knowing. Treating men as unimportant in this realm. Oh, Flavio, please, maybe you might want to take. This is right up there with honing in on something in terms of just making me want to run screaming in the yard and eat dirt and run rabbits. Treating men as unimportant in this realm jives with feminist societal norms. Jives. Does it funk too? Erica, dear. Jibe. J-I-B-E, jibe. Gone are the copy editors. Societal norms that typecast all males as abusive, patriarchal, or stupid. It does not. They do not. Those norms do not treat all men as abusive, patriarchal, or stupid. Sometimes they can be abusive, patriarchal, and stupid. Ew. That was mean. But bear in mind, these are men who are created out of whole cloth by outfits like, what's the name of this grift? Support After Abortion, which is an organization which, if it sees anybody at all, just tries to make people miserable about it. The truth is, see, there's always, anytime you see a screed like this trash, there's always going to be, the truth is, well, I guess it's Erica Anderson's truth. But it's actually, if she was being candid or, dare I say, honest, she would assert that it is a fact, but it is not a fact. Depression, anxiety, and anger are common for men during this time, but there's nowhere for them to process it. Yeah, sure. Because guys who negligently fail to wrap the rascal and become accidental daddies, they're so bummed out when it turns out that they're not going to have to write. I don't know. I have no idea who Erica Anderson is. Let's click the linky and see if we can find out. She's a freelance writer living in India, Talibandianapolis, Talibandiana. She's the author of Reason to Return, Why Women Need the Church and the Church Needs Women. Well, that pretty much... Okie dokie, Erica. You just jive right along, sister. Dig this logic. Somewhere the ashes of Aristotle, or bones, or whatever, somewhere in these Chiricahua Hills, no white man will ever know where, the Apaches buried Cochise, the greatest of their great chiefs. Now, in the time life, never mind. Wherever Aristotle's bones are, they are reconstituting solely so that he can get up and scream. Get this. If men aren't supposed to care when their babies are aborted, why should we expect them to care when they're born? We've created a confusing world in which men only matter if the women they're partnered with decide they do? This is not a rational or healthy way to view man. If men aren't supposed to care when their babies are aborted, why should we expect them to care when they're born? Presumptively because at that point in time, the parents have made a choice to bring a new life into the world. And are, you know, at least in theory, desirous and ready for parenthood. The question is, what's a man supposed to do when he's a Republican member of Congress from, say, Tennistan, and he's got a biblical one-man and one-woman ordained by God Christian family values marriage, and he can't stop impregnating his girlfriend who isn't his wife? And, in fact, is a medical doctor who goes on to pay for the girlfriend's abortions. Abortion hurts women. Abortion hurts men. In the bio there of Erica Alexander, it didn't say anything about her 15 children. It didn't even say that she's currently pregnant. Why? It's taboo to express negativity regarding the realities of abortion. Few men or women are willing to share the mental and emotional consequences, leaving a wound untreated and apt to infect other areas of life. One in five American men is dealing with this pain, likely silently and alone. No, he's down at the bar and he's got a long neck beer and he's probably got some trouble, because what we're talking about here are not men. What we're talking about here are right-wing piece of shit men. And so he's down at the bar, got him a beer, talking about how the old lady got abortion, didn't even ask him. Only he can't drink his Bud Light anymore. And there's no more Coors Light. Miller Light's out. And even them fur and sissy beers is probably even worse. God, what's he supposed to do? Drink Zima? Human beings are made to procreate. No, they're not. That is not the purpose of being human. It's a side effect of it, just like all other forms of life on this planet. But it is not a categorical imperative. Abortion is unnatural to the deepest level, but secular culture only validates pain that falls within its pro-abortion framework. This is hypocritical and unfair. There are cancer survivor communities, infertility support groups, and more. Why shouldn't there be support available for those who've been through abortion? Why should men feel helpless in the face of this struggle? What makes me think she wants one of these groups so she can cruise it? And find a non-liberal guy? That was really shitty of me. I apologize. Not to her, but for the attitude. 83% of the men in the bullshit survey said, I added the bullshit part, they didn't know where they could get help. And 71% said they experienced an adverse change in themselves after the abortion. God. Well, Erica Anderson, you do you, boo. But it's been a long time since I read that much projection in one space. Come on, Erica, how many kids do you have? Don't use the pill, I hope. Right? Okay. Back to GB News and other stuff. Steve in New York says, I strongly disagree with you here. I hate these people. However, the cops in London arrested a number of people for protesting the coronation, simply holding signs that said, not my king. In fact, the government said that the cops would take into account the political context of what kind of speech they'd allow. Also, the cops and government cited the fact that there were foreign dignitaries in London during the coronation, and not wanting to make the UK look bad was a consideration on how much free speech to allow. I confess, the more I've read about the concept of free speech in other countries, I've become much more of a purist in allowing everything. One more thing, in the UK, the defamation laws have a single standard for everything. Expressing an opinion about someone can be defamation, something like, I think Matt Gaetz is a moron, or Donald Trump is a traitor. Can be actionable. In addition, as an aside, in Canada, something being true is not an absolute defense to defamation. Something can be defamatory and true. If the trade-off is allowing crazies to say shit on TV and allowing people to protest peacefully, I will take the fall allowing crazies to say shit. If the price of being allowed to protest at a political event is allowing crazy people to say weird shit on TV, I will take the allowing people to say crazy shit every day of the week. Now, I also saw a video from Scotland, where the Scots were marching merrily along, screaming either, not my king, or fuck the king. I swear I heard some fuck the kings, but the Scots would never do that, would they? Claire hipped me to what was, I saw a video of a guy saying, you know, so you're telling me if I say not my king, I'm going to get arrested. And the cop was evasive, to say the least, and it caused a shitstorm. Because I guess there's a differentiation between Metro Police and London Police, and whichever group it was, the mayor of London said he was not happy. And I don't know if it has to be that. I don't know if that trade-off necessarily has to be what it is. Naomi Wolf, with the garbage she spread, she may have influenced somebody not to get the vaccine and killed them. That's the actual balancing test. It's like any time that a Tucker Carlson viewer, or Glenn Beck, as was the case with the Tides Foundation, decides to go and shoot up a place, or Alex Jones, the complaint is always, well, I had no idea that there were crazy people in my audience. I mean, how can I be expected to know that when I sit here spewing hate for an hour a night, that somebody's going to take me up on it and go and start shooting? It's a question of reasonability and foreseeability. I think we can do something about hate speech without giving up the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, First Amendment language. But Steve, I understand the dichotomy. Emilio said, I feel like I need some help just from here, that whining male victimhood, just from hearing that whining male victimhood claptrap. And it is. Poor babies. I think they need a safe space. Because they're probably evangelical. probably Trump voters. You know the drill. And how about this for good news? Danuge has been canceled. Ted Nugent. And in, of all places, Alabama. He was booked to play a place called Avondale Brewing Company, you know, a brew pub. Ted's down to playing brew pubs. And apparently his farewell tour, really? But get this, in Birmingham, patrons of the Avondale Brewing Company flooded their Facebook and Instagram pages. They left more than 1,000 comments talking about how much they despise the Nuge. Now, this is the same Ted Nugent who, of course, called Barack Obama a subhuman mongrel. This is the same Ted Nugent who made sport of victims of school shootings. This is the same Ted Nugent who suggested that Hillary Clinton suck the muzzle of his machine gun. And lo and behold, both the venue and the promoter, Red Mountain Entertainment, said no, because they were getting messages like, lose this show or lose my business. Also, to bring this transphobic individual into our diverse neighborhood is a travesty. Avondale is kind of hip and trendy. Ted Nugent spews lies and hatred, and you're giving him a platform. So Avondale Brewing Company posted and said, we've heard the concerns of the Avondale community, which is important to us, and in conjunction with our partners have taken the necessary steps to cancel the Ted Nugent concert scheduled for July 18th. Ted Nugent, of course, needed a safe space. He was horribly butthurt. Liars and haters, drunk on stupid, incapable to debate me. And this was the Adios Motherfucker 23, the final tour. Lately, he's been comparing Joe Biden to Adolf Hitler. And he got to visit Nitwit Nero there in the White House. But y'all, Alabama. Ala-freaking-Bama. Yeah, I think you're right, Steve in New York. I'd like to nominate Avondale Brewing Company for a hearty cowbell. Agreed and awarded. Steve adds, maybe Obama is a mongrel. However, I know he didn't piss and shit himself because he was too much of a coward to simply refuse to go to war. There's that. And in the waning minutes of the program this evening, a reminder, we're at 680. Tomorrow will be 980. At least it won't be four digits. $680 to go in fundraising. If we raised that, the program would, well, the extortion bill from AEP would be paid. So, hopefully maybe a miracle overnight or something. I don't know. But, no, on the way out the door, one last thing. Yes, Nugent, subject line, Matt in San Francisco. Didn't he have one hit in the 70s about a venereal disease? That would be cat scratch fever. And yes, that was his big one. Yeah, whatever. I found AC/DC to be ever so much more entertaining. Yeah, what? Yeah, Free for All was another one. Great White Buffalo. But bye, Ted. See ya. By the way, Alabama is ranked number 20 on a list of states with the most hate groups in the U.S. Number 20. There are 13 hate groups in Alabama, 2.6 per million people. Primarily centered in Birmingham, Mobile, and Montgomery. This is a list. North Carolina is 19th. No surprise, Mississippi is 18th. I expected they'd be higher. Missouri comes in at 17th. 17 total hate groups. Kansas City, Marble Hill, Shell City, and St. Louis. Here's one. This blew my mind. Number 16 is Hawaii. Four total hate groups, 2.8 per million. 15th is Nevada. 14th is Maine. Arkansas is 13th. Arizona Stan is 12th. This is making me nervous. Where the hell is West Virginia? Colorado is 11th. Hate groups active in Centennial, Colorado Springs, Denver, and Pueblo. Anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, anti-Semitism, Christian identity, neo-Nazi, white nationalist. Now we're into the top 10. Number 10 is Idaho. Louisiana Stan comes in at number 9. Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles, Metairie, Monroe, New Orleans, Shreveport. Anti-LGBTQ, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitism, neo-Confederate, white nationalist. Dear God, this is getting really scary. Number 8 is South Carolina. Where the hell is West Virginia? In South Carolina, the hate groups are primarily in Charleston, Columbia, Greenville, Spartanburg, and Somerville. Huh. Whew, I was scared to death we were going to be number 1. Number 7, West Virginia. 6 total hate groups, places like Berkeley Springs, that's the Eastern Panhandle, and Purgettsville. Anti-LGBTQ, neo-Confederate, white nationalist. Number 6 is Montana Stan. Delaware. Hi, Megan. Delaware comes in at 5th. Tennistan, no surprise, comes in at 4th. Bartlett, Knoxville, Memphis, Nashville. Anti-LGBTQ, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitism, neo-Confederate, neo-Nazi, racist, skinhead, white nationalist. And where they're going to be having Nitwit Nero's town hall tomorrow, number 3... for hate groups in this country, New Hampshire, Hollis, Manchester, and Richmond, anti-Muslim, neo-Nazi, radical traditional Catholicism. That's I didn't see that one before. Number 2, South Dakota Stan, Christy the Gnome, governor, neo-Nazis, white nationalists, primarily Rapid City. And the number 1 state for hate groups in the United States of America, Nebraska Stan. hate groups in Lincoln, Omaha, Scottsbluff, anti-Muslim, Christian identity, neo-Nazi, white nationalist. There are 4.6 per million population, 9 total, in a total state population of 1,963,692. Nah, Steve, Idaho was back up a ways. Nebraska. The heartland, y'all. The real America. Right? So that's it. Wow. I'm tired. A 3-hour Phil Robster. And hopefully, well, back tomorrow. It's whether we're back on Thursday that is the question of the moment now. So thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this long-running little conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky and Roger. Thank you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, like and subscribe, please. Thanks for the kind words, Theo, on the post on Facebook. Thank you so much. That meant a lot. So, thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your boosters. Wear your mask when you're around maggots. They're a diseased lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. You can let up a little bit. It doesn't have to be 15 to 20 feet right now, especially as warm weather comes on. But be careful. Continue to be careful. And, of course, if some great globulous roid-raging freak comes towards you down the sidewalk saying, oh, we're calling the cops because of that AI prank. You can't just AI people's voices. Tucker Carlson's nipples were really appealing to me. We'd done it on Infowars.com. Well, avoid Alex Jones like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.